Welcome back to the afternoon show with me, Paul, and we're going to talk now about local business challenges, and I'm joined by Alex, who's a local business person. Hello, Alex.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Very well. Nice to see you again after a little bit of a break.
Yeah, thanks for having me back again. I really appreciate your time.
First of all, remind us of your business history.
I have a couple of businesses. The core business is a marquee hire company called Lex Marquee Hire. We cover Berkshire and the home counties. We started, it's around 12 years ago now, which is bonkers to think, cause it doesn't feel that long ago. I'm an engineer by trade, and I lost my job when I decided to enter the world of business and trying to become an entrepreneur. I received help and support in the form of a mentor and specialist workshops from the Prince's Trust. So the first couple of years, I really got to develop the plan and push on into the world of business and self-employment.
So the recent budget from the Chancellor, what are the main points of that which impact the local business scene?
Well, budgets are always interesting, and it's been quite tough for businesses over the last 10 years, really. And this budget, I'd say, is probably the most frustrating, because there's a lot of election interest. So it was quite a weak budget, really. But there's a couple of things to point out. The first one that impacts 80% of businesses in the UK is the VAT threshold. Now, historically, the VAT's always been increased every year, and it stopped around 2017, and it was fixed at £85,000.
So you better tell us what that is.
So VAT is it's essentially what a business charges. So if you have a business and the revenue was under £85,000, then you wouldn't charge VAT. So let's say we're charging £1 for this pen, you wouldn't have the 20% VAT added. However, if your revenue tips over the £85,000 threshold, then you would have to charge VAT. As I was saying, that they've not increased that since 2017, but they've now increased it to £90,000, which there's pros and cons, however you look at it. but it basically means businesses can earn more money without having to pay VAT. Now, the negatives of VAT is it can put customers off, and also you have to be quite proactive. Many businesses spend their VAT, so I would take the 20p for this pen, it'd go into my account, I'd end up spending it on cash flow and, you know, trying to operate the business, and then when the VAT returns due at the next quarter, the government would ask me for that 20p.
So affects your cash flow.
Yeah, massively. So we're quite strict. We save every penny, every pound we receive in VAT, we save every month. So when the VAT when the VAT man comes calling, we have the money saved up. Now, I won't go into it, but you can offset your VAT against your spend. So depending on how much you spend, you can claim back. So if you're taken, say £20,000, once you've offset it, it might be closer to £10,000 or £15,000 that you owe. But they've increased it, which is fantastic for many small companies in the area and throughout the UK.
And you were saying earlier that 80% of businesses are below that threshold?
Yeah, don't quote me on this exactly, but last time I looked, it was around 80% of businesses in the UK don't charge VAT, which means...
It's a lot, isn't it?
You wouldn't believe it. So if you have a business out there and you charge VAT because you've hit the threshold, congratulations, you're in the top 20% of business revenue earners in the UK.
Mm. Congratulations, and now here's a bill for the
exactly.
VAT.
it's really difficult. It's something I stress. It's something we do. We proactively save the VAT, because many businesses and industries really struggle with that. They end up using the VAT. And it's not, you know, I'm saying 20p for a pen, but we're talking, you know, it could be anything between £5,000 and, you know, £100,000. Because a small business is anything under 100 million in revenue, which is it's crazy. So the VAT bill can add up, and saving it and budgeting it and being very careful is key, because cash flow is king at the end of the day.
What else is in the budget?
They have reduced the self-employment national insurance from 8% to 6%. So anybody that's self-employed, so they don't have a limited company, it's saving a bit of money on your contributions, which is great, getting a bit more money into the business for growth and so on.
Is there any for the employed people?
Yeah, they cut 2% in the autumn statement, and they've just reduced it by another 2%, so it's gone from 10% to 8% from April. So it's quite a hefty cut over the last few years. So I'm just checking my numbers here, but for an average worker on £35,400, they receive a tax cut of £900 compared to last year's. So,
and does that also reduce the amount that the business has to pay?
No. So this is something we'll touch upon later. So this is just purely from an employee's point of view, yeah, which is fantastic, you know, because it's been so stagnated after over the last 10, 12 years or so that it's where I may be a bit biased as a business owner. You know, we want our staff to be happy and have more money in their pockets so they can have a better life and
absolutely
enjoy work more, I guess.
Absolutely. What else?
So there's one that's not really business related, but the a child benefit tax support has changed. So previous to this statement, if an individual, a parent, earns over £50,000, then they wouldn't receive the child support, or actually they would have to pay it back once you do your return. And the negative of that, if you have a couple, one person earns over 50 and the partner, the husband or wife, doesn't work, they would lose the child support. Now, if you have a couple, both earning £49,999 each, they would still receive that child allowance, which is massively unfair. So they've increased the cost. I think it's around £60,000, and they're looking at reviewing it. I think it's from 2026, changing the system to make it more fair for everyone, and
right,
more importantly, the people that need it.
And you were talking about the recent budget. Tell us about hidden turnover taxes, I think they get called. Tell us about that. It's quite competitive, quite challenging for business, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's a lot of businesses it gives us the biggest headache. So to the public and people who don't know much about business, you see that a business owner or you'll pay tax on profit. So whatever you take out, basically, you would pay your tax. However, our biggest headache as a business, well, my biggest headache as a business owner is what we call turnover tax. And that is tax that we have to pay just to exist. So
So this is before corporation tax on profits.
This is sort of cash flow tax, I guess you could say. The biggest one would be business rates. So we rent a large barn in West Berkshire, and we pay our rent, and then we have to pay an additional 50%, works up roughly 50% of what our rent is, to the council as business rates. And that's just a tax. We don't really get anything out of it. It's just a government tax to help society, I guess, which is great, and we have no issue doing.
I think it goes to the local bins and so forth. Services of West Berkshire Council, doesn't it?
No,
completely. It's guided.
Yes and no. So it goes to the council, but it's not like council tax where you'll get a receipt every year. You know, let's say now it's gone to the fire service or whatever services, the bins. This is just a tax. So, and there is a discount on, depending on the rateable value. I won't go into it because it's so old and so confusing, but depending on how big your unit is, the use of it and so on, sometimes you can get a discount, whether it's 25% or 50% or in some cases 100%. But that's, you know, if you wanted to start a business tomorrow and you needed a bit of space like the studio, you would have to pay approximately 50% of your rent on tax. And it just gives a headache. And I'll go through a few others,
yes,
but
okay.
The main reason we get quite frustrated about it is because it stagnates business. And a lot of these taxes they're very political and they're very focused on big companies of a certain size, and it's sort of a one option, one system fits all, and it shouldn't. So you're looking at huge companies like Vodafone or, I don't know, like Bayer, companies like that where they're employing thousands of people, and it these systems are built for them. So another one is employer's contribution for national insurance and state and pensions. Now, as a business owner, we have to pay 3% towards minimum towards member of staff's pension. We have no issue with that. However,
this is called the workplace pensions.
Yes, right. Yeah, absolutely. So you would either opt in or opt out.
So that's on top of the state pension.
Yes, correct. So you would be paying in, say, 5%, and we would be paying in 3%, and that's a by law we have to do that. Now, for many businesses, we have no issue doing this, but lots of companies out there, lots of business owners don't actually have a pension themselves. The majority of business owners are just getting by day to day, and it's very difficult. And what the frustration is, it doesn't fit every situation, and not all businesses are turning over millions of pounds. You know, a coffee shop, for example, is one of my favourite stats. An average coffee shop, I shall ask you the question, the net profit, how much do you think a coffee shop business owner takes home after all costs?
What, an independent one?
Anyone.
Yes.
Whether it's a Costa or a...
Profit.
Bottom
as a
line.
Salary, if you like.
No, not salary. No. So you've paid your manager, you've paid your baristas, you've paid your tax.
And it's probably something small, like 1% or something.
It's 30. Well, I don't know the percentage actually, but it's about £35,000.
Right.
So, if
right.
you were to start a coffee shop tomorrow as a business owner, your net profit once you've completed everything will be around £30,000 to £35,000. So, as a business owner, who's probably there? I mean, I worked out the other day. I do around 60 to 70 hours a week. So, but as a coffee shop owner, I can imagine the owner will be on site a lot longer, and you know, trying to run the business. And it's not that businesses don't want to contribute and pay towards these things. It's just I think it's quite short-sighted from the government sometimes. And it's something that we'd love to change. Other costs would be insurance premiums. For a business, it's dearer than yourself. And another one would be the energy. So for my business unit, the electric costs me far more than if for my personal house or from the taxes levied onto it. You've also got I was going to repeat myself then. But all this cost, it adds up and destroys cash flow of a business. So for businesses not as comfortable as they would ideally be, or if they have a bad few months, this is what can finish a business off. From my own business, what I'd love to do is be able to have some of that money to actually employ more staff and get the money back into the economy and grow my business and employ more staff and get higher turnover and pay more tax in that way. So it's a very stressful situation. And jumping with VAT, I won't go into this too much because we could talk all day about it. However, again, going back to the cafe, where when they purchase food, so they might purchase potatoes and tomatoes and baked beans and things like that, that's not VAT-able. So they don't pay VAT on that. However, when they put it all together and heat it up, they have to charge VAT. And again, from what I was saying earlier on about saving, it's not always possible. It's very difficult. So my business, it generally works out. We can reclaim about half our VAT. So again, if we were charging 20 grand, we'd pay £10,000. But from a restaurant or a cafe, that it's 100%. So every quarter they have to pay the 100% VAT.
Right.
And it just adds strain and pressure, unnecessary pressure.
And I should imagine it really requires a lot of planning and managing. You have to know and and build these things in and put money aside, I would have thought, because otherwise you're going to get yourself badly wound up and badly caught out.
Yeah, you're essentially a middleman for the HMRC. I'm very proud of, I could say, how much tax we pay a year or we earn. And you could argue, well, that's a government tax. It's not your money. However, if we didn't grow our business to this size, we wouldn't be taking this amount of VAT. And then we obviously have to administrate through accountant and bookkeeper and so on. And then we're basically holding the money for the tax, for the HMRC, the tax office. And we're very strict, so we save it. We're very cautious, but the majority of businesses out there don't do it. They use it as cash flow, and then when the VAT return comes, then they get hit with fines and the interest they have to pay just to pay it back, and they end up with payment plans. And it's just, again, as I was saying, it's not one size fits all. It really is, you know, for larger companies and companies that have a little bit of cash flow flexibility, you can get away with, you can be a bit more creative, and you can have staff, or in our case we have our bookkeeper that spend a lot of time planning with us. But small businesses don't have that opportunity, and you'll find the restaurant or the cafe owner will be cooking your food, they're marketing the business, doing the tax return, doing the VAT return, and washing up at the end of the day. And it just feels very it feels a bit unfair, really, I guess, for a lot of small companies.
And another thing, presumably, is depreciation of equipment, vehicles and that sort of thing. You've got to be on top of that and put money aside, haven't you? Because otherwise you get caught out when something breaks down.
Yeah, I mean, from our point of view, actually saying that, we've just gone through a few issues. We're replacing a few of our vehicles in our fleet, and when you actually look at what they're worth after, you know, after the period of leasing or whether you purchase, and I try and we try and be quite careful and cautious, so we try and save sort of miscellaneous pot of money. Every booking, we try and take a small percentage, we stick it away in an account, and it just becomes our just takes a bit of pressure away. It doesn't cover all the costs, but you just need to be very aware what your outgoings are each month, and not, you know, let's say you've leased a van or you're doing it on HP or whatnot, you need to know what's happening after that. And we were saying the music was playing that it's, you know, as a business owner, you can have a couple of amazing months and you can make more money than you've ever made in your life. But then if you have a 6-month period, COVID is probably a great example, you can go from being on top of the world to having nothing. But all these costs and all, you know, these taxes that you have to pay on turnover, they're still there. And does add a lot of distress.
Brilliant. How can the listener find out more about the budget and these turnover taxes?
Google, really. Just the BBC, they list it out, very easy to understand. If you look at the HMRC website, it's just lots and lots and lots of words, and it's not very well formatted. So I would find sort of a generic website, BBC, something like the Huffington Post, if that's even still about, you know, something like that. That would be quite clear. In regards to the turnover tax, just investigating, you know, if you're interested in it's not as obvious. A lot of the budget information, it's very high level and it's very, very politically driven, but you can do some research. And if you're not a business owner, speak to your friends that do run businesses, because it's a fascinating to find out the challenges we face running a business in the UK at the moment.
Okay, Alex, thank you very much indeed. It's great to see you. Thank you very much for all that explanation, and all the very best to you.
Thank you. See you next time.
Okay, thanks a lot.